Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So to better understand our gospel reading this morning, I think we need to break it down a little bit into more comprehensible parts. As a matter of fact, we need to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 21, where our reading came from Matthew 22. In Matthew 21, verse 23, we learn, when Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching. So that helps us understand where this is happening, what's going on. Things are there in the temple, and he's talking with the religious leaders of the day. Then chapter 21 goes on and on into chapter 22. We get a series of stories that we've heard over the last several weeks. We start off with the story of Jesus' authority being questioned. You might remember, by what authority are you doing these things? Then we heard the story of the two sons, the one who says, yes, I will do it, but then he doesn't. And then the other son who says, no, I'm not going to do that, but then he goes ahead and does what dad had asked. We heard the story about the wicked tenant, the landowner who sent his son to collect the rent, and the tenants killed the son. And then, of course, last week we had the parable of the wedding banquet. And all of those were a build-up to the question that we got today, is it lawful to pay the tax? Now, there's a bunch of subtleties that are going on with all of this that we probably don't understand. So we need to look at this first century Palestinian issues. Now, like I said, this is happening in the temple. The temple, that's a capital T for the and a capital T for temple, the temple. That's the place where the Jewish people met for worship. There are different areas to the temple, though, and depending upon your gender, your faith, your ethnic heritage, that would determine where you were allowed. So if you are an uncircumcised Gentile male, you're not even allowed in the place. As a matter of fact, there's a specific courtyard. It's called the courtyard of the Gentiles. That's outside. That's where you were allowed. Jewish women, well, you pretty much just got to look in the doorway. Apparently, you didn't have the right plumbing. Male converts, it took a little while for that one to kick in, okay. Male converts who had had a certain little surgery, they were allowed in a little bit farther. They could stand like right inside the door. But it was only really the ethnically born Jewish males who were allowed in the inner courtyard. Now, within the inner courtyard, there was also the Holy of Holies, and that's where, if you were an ethnically born Jewish male who also was a priest on duty, that's where you were allowed, but that was usually only maybe two or three people at any given time. Most of the Jewish males were gathered there in what we would call the inner courtyard, and that's where we're assuming that these conversations are taking place between Jesus and his disciples and the religious leaders of the day. To allow any non-believer or anything that is not kosher, that is to say not sanctioned, into the temple, into that inner courtyard, that is absolutely not allowed. So the Pharisees and the Herodians, along with the chief priests and the elders, they are trying to think of some way to trip Jesus up. They want to be rid of him. He is a pain in their side. And so they ask him a question that they are certain is just going to mess him. Tell us, then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? They know if Jesus says, yes, pay the tax, then he's going to be showing support to Rome. Rome is the occupying army there in Palestine. They're not really well liked. There's a whole group of people, a whole rebel resistance, if you will, that is working against the Roman Empire. And if Jesus comes along and says, yes, pay the tax, those folks are all going to rise in revolt against Jesus. If, however, Jesus says, no, don't pay the tax, well then, the Pharisees and the Herodians can cry, sedition! He's going against the government. They can call in the Roman guards. They'll arrest Jesus, toss him in prison, and they're rid of Jesus. Either way, they're looking at this as a win-win question. Did you happen to catch, though, that what they said to Jesus even before they got to their question? Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. I can just feel the slime dripping off of those words. I want to go take a shower. They did not think of Jesus as being sincere or teaching with, in accordance with the truth. And I'm really assuming that that whole deference to no one and do not regard people with partiality was absolutely sarcastic, because they wanted to be treated with deference. They wanted to be treated with partiality. They saw themselves, the Pharisees and Herodians saw themselves as being better than the average Jewish person. We've gone through all of these studies. We know better than you. And Jesus did not treat them that way. They want to be rid of Jesus. Now, Jesus' response pretty much lets all of us know that he knows exactly what they are up to. Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? But finally, Jesus' answer to their inquiry. Show me a coin, he says. Well, all right, so he wants to see a coin. What's the big deal? Yeah. Okay, so remember how there are some things that are not allowed in the temple? Coins with a human image on it are one of those things. Why? Well, if you remember back from Deuteronomy, you know, the Big Ten, the list that Moses got up on the mountain, one of those things is, you shall have no other gods before me, no graven images. And what is a coin with a human head on it? That's a graven image. So somebody with a coin with a graven image is bringing an idol into the temple. Now, yes, people would come and they would give offerings to the temple, or they would have to buy a sacrifice, you know, a dove or a lamb or something, or they would pay for services rendered. They would have to exchange their money out in, remember, that courtyard of the Gentiles. That's where they would exchange any money that they had with a human likeness on it for money that did not have a human likeness on it. But Jesus says, show me a coin. And somebody there, one of these great religious leaders, one of these Pharisees or Herodians, reaches in to his little satchel, reaches into his pocket, and pulls out a coin, a denarius, that has the likeness of the emperor imprinted on it. And he's there in the inner courtyard. And apparently, without thinking, he hands it over to Jesus. And Jesus asks this great question that we have the amazing ability of hindsight to kind of just savor when he asks it. Whose head is on this coin? And whose title? And again, without thinking, because they are so smug that they've got Jesus ready to wrap up and hand over either to the Roman guards or to an angry mob, they answer, the emperor. They are so confident, so assured that they've got Jesus dead to rights. They're so full of themselves. They never see Jesus' answer coming. Give to the emperor, therefore, the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. Jesus can do the proverbial mic drop, walk off the stage. They got nothing left. So to paraphrase a commercial, let me ask you this. What's in your wallet? What is it in your life that you carry around that distracts you from faith? What is it that you allow on a regular and frequent basis to make you think that you are more important to yourself than God is? Isn't that what only God's glory is all about? To remind us, we do not belong to the emperor. Solia Deo Gloria, the Latin. It's the understanding that all glory is God alone. Salvation is accomplished solely through God, and it is to God that we are to give our all. It is to God that we are to give to God that which is God's. We are not worthy on our own. We can never be worthy. We cannot earn God's grace and love and forgiveness. But we don't have to, because that was done for us on a Friday afternoon in the backwaters of the Roman Empire, when Christ was crucified. That's the glory of God. God alone. And we cannot trick God. Just like the Pharisees or the Herodians or any other individual or group that think that we as human beings can make ourselves better than God, the glory of God is overwhelming to us puny, limited human beings. Give to God that which is God's. And what is God's? Everything. Amen.